All right, time to look through the window at baseball for Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. Marvin Windows and Doors, and their, of course, showroom in Monterey and in Berkeley. Bruce Jenkins joins us. Bruce, good morning. Pat's got a question for you right away.
Hey, good morning, Bruce. How are you, buddy?
Hey, great. How you guys doing?
Did you see the Dallas Braden piece where he relived the perfect game on Mother's Day with his grandma?
I did not, but I'm going to have to look it up because he's fantastic. He's very outspoken and very well-spoken. And what a thing. The guy pitched a perfect game. I mean, what a thing to have for the rest of your life.
It was a crazy story, too, because he had lost his mother to breast cancer. And then just to see how he just was so touching this morning. He said that he's not very good at many things. He's decent at a couple. And the only thing he cares about is making sure his grandmother knows how much he loves her. And then she was telling how she climbed up on the dugout to watch the eighth and ninth innings. It was just so charming. And, Bruce, the guy can bring it on ESPN. I really enjoy his personality.
Oh, yeah. I mean, between Braden and Eric Burns, I mean, you get a ton of passion and personality in there, which is always great. It's refreshing.
Bruce, Mother's Day in baseball, maybe some of your thoughts about it. It just seems to go hand in hand. It's the bonding of the game with parents. And as I always say, it's not just a mother. It's a sister, an aunt, a grandmother, like in Dallas Braden's case. But there's that connection with baseball.
Yeah, well, I owe an awful lot to Vince Scully because I'm in Southern California. I'm a kid, and one summer I got mononucleosis, so I'm laid up for like 6 weeks, and my mom didn't know really anything about baseball, but those 6 weeks were spent a great deal of the time listening to the Dodgers. And Vince Scully, the way he portrayed a game, she found that so captivating that she found herself glued to the radio, and by the end of the 6 weeks, she knew a little about baseball and just wanted to learn about it the rest of the way. And, you know, that she eventually became a big fan and pretty knowledgeable, but it all started that one summer.
Yeah, you know, I tell the story about my mother and, you know, lived to 94 years old. She lived in Miami. Mm-hmm. Loved listening to the Marlin games. I just loved them, but she couldn't stand Braden Looper. And she would call, get Looper out of there. He can't close. And I said, look, you know, he's 17 for 21. It's not that bad. But don't bring Looper in. They bring Looper in, it's over. And it's really incredible, the connection of baseball just with families. And, of course, this time of year you remember all the things. And again, like you say, you learn the game from your mother, father, whoever it may be. It's a great time. Hey, yesterday, descriptions, the descriptive word, which you're a master at, and John Miller, of course, and Dwayne Kuiper, the spoken word. But to describe Joe Panic going up the middle and diving for that ball and throwing the sky hook.
Yeah.
Combine the greatest writing and the greatest speaking that you could ever describe a baseball play.
Well, it's great that he mentioned the sky hook because that's the first thing I thought of. He put up a hook shot. It's something you never see in basketball. I have no idea why. It's a very elegant and sort of unstoppable thing. And in Joe Panic's case, it was a matter of necessity. Where his body was placed, it was about the only way to get it there, you know, reliably and on time. And it was somewhat reminiscent of the great play that the two of those guys pulled off in the World Series where Panic dove. And there's a great photo of he tossed the ball, I think, out of his glove, and it's halfway to Crawford, and this is a World Series, and it's a huge play, and it's on display in the Giants clubhouse in spring training. But you know, the elegance of Joe Panic and Crawford, you know, never really grows old. It's such a big part of the team, and you know, a big play in a game they needed to win.
Bruce, if Kareem mastered the skyhook, who was the second best hook shot artist of all time?
Well, there hasn't been one since him. I mean, you have to go back to Johnny Kerr and Sweet Hallbrook. You know, I mean,
wait a minute. How about Jerry Lucas?
Yeah, Lucas had a hook shot.
Marty.
He was an old school guy. Although his primary shot was that looked like a shot put, like a set shot off his right shoulder, which was really deadly. But Bill Russell was a pretty good hook shot artist.
Yeah,
he'd bank it off the glass. And you know, in those days, guys were smart enough to realize what an effective shot it is. Now it's like you're effeminate if you do it. I swear that it has to be the only reason. It looks like you're in the ballet or something. Meanwhile, the shot cannot be stopped.
No.
And if you look at the shots of Kareem, of course it helps to be 7 feet tall. But no matter how tall you are, you can get that shot off. Use that left elbow to fend the guy off a little bit. He's not going to touch that ball.
I love it. Very good. Jerry Lucas also memorized the phone book, didn't he?
He did.
I mean, really.
He's in Ohio. He was on his way to Pennsylvania. He figured out to stick with Ohio.
Really? He had a photographic memory. It was just it was amazing. And he did magic tricks. Really, one of the amazing athletes, I think, of
all time. Definitely. And a great, great rebounder.
All right. How about Johnny Cueto, Bruce? He's becoming, you know, of course, a tremendous pitcher. If he keeps this up, he'll be an all-star pitcher. But the fans love him, and he's a showman, and the fans here are eating it up.
Oh, he's just so wonderful. He's such an artist out there. He's got so many deliveries, so many options. You never know where he's coming from, if it's going to be over the top three quarters, if it's going to be a quick pitch, or he'll do a little delay. He'll look back towards center field. Very Tiant Marshall-like in his inventiveness, and just a treat, though. I mean, mostly he's getting guys out. I mean, he hasn't lost a thing, apparently. It's proving to be a great signing. I was really excited when they signed him because he's so fun to watch, and he's come through in a lot of big games. And he sort of resurrects the memory for those who go back to watching Louis Tiant or Juan Marichal, who had a million deliveries as well. It's just a real pleasure.
Bruce, I heard Marty talking to Ron Wotus this morning about his pickoff move, and boy, that just seems like such a valuable tool to have in your arsenal. And Cueto sure is. He's pretty good at it, huh?
Well, he is. And I always admire a pitcher who makes a point of studying that and perfecting that. You know, we've seen guys who Lincecum and Syndergaard right now has a big problem with it. You know, they're used to just retiring everybody. Nobody ever got on. But you get in the big leagues, they're going to get on, and they're going to burn you. They're going to find a way, a weakness that you have, and they're going to exploit it. And Cueto, you know, bless him, he works on that, and he holds guys close. It's a real important part of pitching.
Yeah, very deceptive.
Big time.
And, you know, he's got, every time you look at him, you never quite know. And I love sort of the quick pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, very interesting.
That's the thing about a pickoff move. Is ideally, you have about six of them, you know, so you don't know if he's getting his best move or he's saving one for later, you know, as opposed to just like throwing over there just to do it. You know, he's got a whole arsenal.
What a weekend of baseball. 17-7, a 13-run inning. Then you come back 6-4. You have a great game. You come back 4-0, and Crawford, the 3-run homer. Then you play good baseball to put it away and good bullpen to finish it. Then you come in yesterday, and you get the classic, a one-hitter for 7 innings. And they hit for the guy. And I could kind of understand that it's, you know, you're trying to win the game, so maybe you hit for him at 89 pitches on Gray. But Cueto with Bochy, he's letting these guys go to the 9th inning, Bruce. This is so different for me. Then all of a sudden, Connor Gillespie, you know, and he's going to, I'm telling you, this guy's going to be a big part of the bench this year. And he's the right age, and he's accomplished things in baseball. Draws a tough walk. And then Matt Duffy hits one, and Parra, I don't know what Parra did, I guess it was a knuckleball, and it's all over. But what a weekend of baseball.
Yeah, Parra took a bad route there, which to the Giants' benefit. Although, you know, it was a harder play than it looked, and he's a good outfielder. It just got away from him. But I really do like Gillespie. There was a great moment the other night when they were shifting him. And, you know, the fans aren't terribly familiar with Gillespie, but Kruko, you know, he knows things about guys. And he goes, you know, don't put it past him to push a ball through that empty spot down the third baseline. And Gillespie not only did it, he fought off a low and inside pitch to do it. But that part of the field was open, and you could tell he was aiming it over there, and sure enough, he's got a hit. He's, you know, once again, you have a Giants hitter, and he was drafted by them originally,
right,
who uses the whole field, and it's just invaluable.
Yeah, he's going to be very helpful. Well, a big game today. We had Phil Rogers on earlier, and you know Phil quite well.
Yes.
White Sox, Cubs in first place, and we've got the Nationals. They're trying to sweep the Nationals today. Arrieta, Tanner Roark, Bryce Harper. He's not going to run into walls. He's not going to do it. And the Cubs with 101 run differential. You got to go back to 1902. I love it. The Pittsburgh Pirates. They won the National League pennant by 27.5 games over the Brooklyn Superbas. Named for a vaudeville troupe.
You and I were there in spring training,
right, exactly,
Marty, that year.
Come on, we watched
from behind the plate at Honus Wagner and on the boys, you know.
We watched them warm up. So the last Cub to win his first six, and of course Arrieta is doing that, is three-fingered Mordecai Brown, 1908. So, but the point is the Cubs are doing things, Bruce. They haven't won a World Series since 1908. As Phil Rogers said, it feels like the Bears of the middle 80s, the Bulls of the middle 90s, and they're getting that feeling in Chicago. This is going to be something all summer.
Oh, it's great. And they've really sent a little bit of a message to the Nationals. I mean, three in a row, and now they got Arrieta. I mean, that's got the look of a sweep, and they've been just commanding in doing so. I've taped all the games and tried to fast forward and look at the salient parts of the games. But, you know, they're playing so well. Just to look at them, and also the numbers that people are just—they're calling them one of the greatest teams of all time, which I'm sure makes a Cubs fan extremely nervous. It's like, how about we win the division? You know, who knows what horrors lurk down the road because you're a Cubs fan? But they're just absolutely on top of things, and they've kept Harper in check, which is big. You know, as far as running into the walls, I don't think Harper is adverse to crashing into a wall, but not Wrigley Field. I mean, those walls are like running into cement.
Well, not like running; they are cement.
Yeah,
they're brick and Pete Reiser
into brick. So, you know, of course, I totally get it. I think he could have evaded the whole controversy there if he'd just gone into a slide.
Right.
You know, that ends with your foot, you know, hitting the bottom of the thing, and that's the best you can do anyway. But there, the Nationals found themselves a little bit out of sorts. They lit up Scherzer, and they got brought down to earth a little bit while the Cubs, you know, sort of other planets.
Good baseball. Good baseball. Yeah. We're going to see the Cubs here in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, yesterday I was bouncing back and forth between the CSN broadcast and KNBR, and then in MLB Network, they had the Nationals and Cubs. And Stephen Drew came up to bat, and the Cubs shifted. They put Chris Bryant out in right field, and they moved the shortstop all the way to the second base. And I'm not sure who was calling the game for the MLB Network, but they unloaded on Washington that they it's an organizational failure, that they don't have Stephen Drew drop a bunt down the third base side because nobody was out. I had never heard criticism like that on a baseball telecast. It was unreal, but it made me think. And by the way, he still pulled a ball to second base and he beat out the throw. But it strikes me as odd as why a guy like that with the entire side of the diamond open, why he wouldn't just push a bunt the opposite way.
Yeah, and you know, we're seeing that with Belt quite a bit. Mm-hmm. He'll drop a bunt every now and then. He'll go to left center. He's gonna tell these guys, you can't play me any one way because I'm gonna burn you. And yeah, the bunt. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a good bunt. Just keep it fair. You know, there's pride comes into it and ego, stubbornness.
Crazy.
But you know, where are the smarts?
It's crazy when you're down a run and you get on base.
Perfect.
Come
perfect
on, get
spot.
On base. Look, I know you probably. I don't know if you heard Joe Carter with us today. We had him on, and he said, "Look," and he talking about the shift. He said, "There's no question. If they did that to me, I would absolutely go the other way. There's no question about it."
I mean, not only that, you tick up a couple points on your batting average. It's all good. It's not like you're sacrificing.
Well, today, Jeff Samardzija, Bruce, and boy, I said to Ron Wodisley that the stats are skewed. You can't look at Giants stats because the first three guys are, you know, Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
And the last two are, you know, are looking like they're in the Cal League and they just got there. So when you combine it, it's a gee, they're not doing that well. But when you break it down, the first three and the third guy goes today have been just awesome.
Yeah, I think that's how you got to look at it. I mean, you know, the idea of going into a big series with those three guys, you're thinking we got a good chance to sweep anybody, including the Cubs, even the all-time greatest team ever assembled. And then you have the horrific, you know, fall back to reality with Peavy and Kane, you know, so far. But I don't think, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen with Peavy and Kane. I really don't. I don't know what the solution is. Nobody seems to have come up with one. But I do have a ton of faith in those first three guys. And you talk about three showmen, really, all in a different way. Entertainers,
point.
Total personalities, great in the clubhouse, fabulous to watch. And that to me is the overriding thing about the rotation. And they'll somehow fix or at least try to fix the rest of it.
Boy, that's a great point, Pat.
Yeah, and
they're showmen. Very good.
They are so entertaining, and they all do it in different ways, and so it's a real pleasure to watch these three guys. And Peavy's a showman, too. He's just showing the ball a little too easily to the batters. Hey, Bruce, I want to get your thoughts on Yasiel Puig real quick before we split. Is that in his last 19 games, he's batting 151, 20 strikeouts, and 73 at-bats. And Dave Roberts benched him today for their game in Toronto, second time out of the last seven games that they've benched Puig. And, boy, I know that his issues are not like Johnny Manziel, but they're both kind of wasting their talent. And Marty was just kind of joshing with me off the air. If you put his home run total for the season over-under at 12, does he go over or under?
Oh, well, I would have had over. I'm not so sure now. Before the season, I would have had him down for 22, 25 homers because he was. They were saying how he had matured and he's much better around the guys. And he's a natural talent who's done it before. I figured he could fix it. I mean, unlike Manziel can't even get on the field.
Right.
He's like he's not in jail every night. And Puig has really straightened out his life, so they say. I mean, it's you can't say a guy's completely turned it around. But he can't hit the low and away breaking ball, and he refuses to adjust. And they just got tired of looking at it. And meanwhile, he's making some of the greatest throws you've ever seen. He made one the other night. It was so perfect, it was just astounding. From deep right field to the second base bag where the glove was sitting. It's just, wait a minute, you can't even make a better throw than that. But it'd be interesting. I mean, they might turn to Trace Thompson, Clay's brother.
Yeah.
He's a very good outfielder. He's about a 260 hitter and probably always will be. But, you know, Puig's lucky to get over 200. So, I mean, who knows where that's going to go. But it's not a good thing for the Dodgers. It's yet another concern that they have. I think all the things that are bugging the Dodgers far outweigh the Giants worried about two pitchers.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Sure.
Boy, good story. Bruce, how did the prom go last night?
Well, I wasn't there, but we did a lot of things before and after. And my wife, God bless her, went and got Molly at 2 in the morning from the place they dropped off after the post party. And I made sure that, you know, we got the girl home and there weren't any drunken drivers around and all those things. But it went great.
Cool. Good.
Neither one of them is awake, by the way, but it went great.
The planet from Coneheads was Remula. That was the planet.
Ah, yes, the planet Remula.
Right. Well, I hope you took a lot of pictures.
Originally we were from France, but that didn't wash.
Right. No, we are from France.
Yeah.
All right. What's up today for you?
Yeah.
Well, a little Mother's Day. We're going to head down to a local establishment once the girls get up, and maybe some Bloody Marys for the adults, another couple, another great mom, and treat Martha as she should be.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Thanks, Bruce. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, Bruce.
Okay, guys. Thanks a million.
What a pleasure. All right, more coming up.